This is Melting Titanium number 50, March 23rd, 2010. And what happened? Carolyn was away. So it was just me and Ion. So we didn't follow the usual procedure of engaging the audience. I just started asking questions. Now, because it's a radio show, we come on as if it's a broadcast on the ESP level. We announce the intros, the music playing. So you'll hear me cite the songs that everybody's supposed to be hearing. We're not playing them, but we're saying this is what is being played if you've got ESP. Often I would play the music. Often I would sing it. So this is a very bland beginning, not your normal Melting Titanium sojourn. But that's probably because Carolyn wasn't there. So with all that proviso, it turns out to be a very important Melting Titanium. I just picked it, and it was the right one to start with.
This is Melting Titanium number 50, recorded on March 23rd, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated. All rights reserved, and starting at 6 p.m. Hawaii time. Welcome, everybody.
Good morning, Viet Cong.
We had our first sale, I think, of a Melting Titanium today.
Hooray.
So when I went to Mega Upload it, it didn't go, which means it's already out there. So we have to check with Carolyn to see if it's based on her sending it to you, or maybe someone did order it a long time ago and I forgot. So that's the lingering dilemma. Meanwhile, this is the 50th anniversary, the 50th Melting Titanium. We started on April 14th, 2009.
Oh, a bon anniversaire on your wonderful news world of April 15th, 2010.
That's coming up. Now, in the background we have Highway to Hell, Stairway to Heaven, The Last Resort, Everything's Coming Up Roses, and Looking for a Reason. No, Looking for a City.
Well, that's the gist of it, though, is Looking for a Reason.
Yes, JW, or Ion has changed the vernacular in reference to that song. So here we are. We might not be as ebullient without Carolyn here, an important pivotal column of Melting Titanium. She backs us up when I collapse from over-probing. So shall I go immediately to questions, themes, or does Ion have something to say on this particular day?
Oh, no, we're good. You've got to start, because if we start, you get all crossways of yourself. So, leave that be.
I don't like to do things on Melody Titanium and then bring them up again on cash flow. But if I did, is that okay with you, Ion?
Sure. We don't care. Yeah. I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I've got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. Right. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, we're digressing.
Now I go to my Ion questions.
Doody, 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 doody. Please have your answer in the form of a question.
Okay. We're going to go into my secret archive where I keep there.
Going straight to press then, are you?
Going to where my special comments are kept.
Might ease right on in the pool.
Is the audience laid back like us?
Yeah.
They're keen for instant escalation immediately?
Yes, except you're on the planet that are an hour late.
Oh, they haven't figured that out yet.
Right.
So there may be not many people.
Yeah. There's lots of people. They've been waiting an hour.
Jeez. Okay, people. Let's get it cool now. Let's remember that it is seven their time, I guess, right?
No, it's just everywhere you go, it's a different time zone, and then some does daylight saving, and then some don't, and then so what?
Okay, well, they don't mind waiting. Gets them in the tune. I'm not going to take
it. Has been chatting, so it's all fun.
Oh, great. Okay. Carolyn wrote back, it may be Richard in North Carolina, the one that invoked, he was bored or something. He's the one who created the icon, boredom in North Carolina. Well, Carolyn sent him a note. I don't know what it was. Maybe he had emailed something on the show. She sent a nice note. And then he wrote back, "Thanks, Carolyn. The following comments, yes, they are sarcastic, are from my heart and address the other side of the coin of what is being presented via Ion. You may do with it what you will. All the best to you, Richard." So here's what he's saying in a sarcastic tone. "What is not being said, but what is heard. I know that it's all great and delicious that we can eat sewage, drink mercury, and compete with the cockroaches in surviving on poison. I think it's also quite special that we can breathe aluminum and barium from the aerosol spraying that blankets the globe. Far be it for us to get in the way of Caesar and his machinations. We're all here to suicide. So thanks, big guys, and let's get on with it. Environment, shmirement. What do we need with a bunch of honeybees anyway? They just muck about, pollinating with all that honey-making and stinging, scaring the bejesus out of the old folks. Who needs cake when we can eat General Motors or genetically modified food and all those wonderful herbicides? Why, I remember way back when that couple, heavily invested in the manufacture of DDT, publicly went on a DTT diet and remained rosy-cheeked until we all got bored with it. If we finally and luckily have only genetically modified food, who needs a damn pest anyhow? Bees, worms, all of it. Yuck. In fact, who needs a body anyway? Or a mind, for that matter, or even that pesky old soul that somehow needs some evolutionary platform to develop through. All the Brahmins that I know are tickled pink about the non-physical working philosophy, and that is, quote, get on that escalator to your own joy, unquote, and make certain that all the Dalits are repeatedly told that everything heaped upon them is what they want, what they chose. We don't even need to use the old karma ruse any longer. And here's the kicker. The untouchables are even responsible for their own slavery. Cool. When you come out with your bubblehead dashboard plastic statue, I'd sure buy a few." So you were just talking about Jesus, really, my plastic Jesus. When you come, okay, when you come out with your bubblehead dashboard plastic statue, you know, the Ion version, I'd sure buy a few. We can bring back child labor where it isn't already in full force. And since there's no longer any innocence, we can pump up the volume on child porn, even get into snuff films when we get bored with that. The profit centers are endless. Why be limited to the boys from Brazil? We have the entire planet of hapless youth hiding behind the facade of godlessness we can freely experiment with, because if it wasn't what they wanted all along, they wouldn't be doing it. All the Brahmins, the Aryans, scions of the Watchers, and Anaki and Nephilim, give thanks to you, unseen Nephilim. All these things give thanks to you, unseen folk, that means Ion, for coming to our rescue. We thought for a minute there that the bottom classes were gaining some sort of clarity and might come to their senses and kick all us crackers out. Dot, dot, dot. Can you imagine a nirvana with all of them in it? We sure can't. Have a nice day. Now, that's Richard's sort of grievance against Ion. Is there anything that Ion would address in that?
That you got it right. You got it right on the head. Perfect, perfect word. How very wonderful. You just summed up the whole totality of non-physical. There you go. Exactly. And guess what? It's without any contrast, we're also bored like you.
All right, we're bored like you.
In a contrastless experience, you have nothing better to do than to toil sarcastically. You have nothing other to do than to try to unriddle the riddles of your world. Do you think for 1 second that non-physical would go about all these anomalous anomalies that continue on in these little tirades of rants of appreciation that come to a place that do nothing but other than acknowledge the puffery, the snuffery of the unbearable heatness of fire, the anomalies, the analogous realities that come from your place of desire, the desire centers that put you in the notion, like Kathy Lee Gifford with her slave labor product nomenclature that allows the little children to make her clothing line, which was the rage all in the day, and poor Frank and her life got divorced, and it gave poor Regis Philbin a heart condition, and on and on and on and on. So that dynamic that is, it comes to the simple understanding that, yes, who, if not you, bubblehead, plastic Jesus, on his imperious gaze of your own deity, mirroring the very power that you marvelous creators absolutely must control and have? If not, do you think a sovereign, brass-footed, goose-layered, white-haired, nether region God would be sitting on a throne somewhere out there gazing on your frivolities? Would be standing there in a marvelous creative stance, creating all this, watching you humans muddle about as you have this intolerable inclination to drive with what you call Satan, the dark angel, the third of the angel force, cast down on the earth to have dominion over the earth that you have to toil, since you, the human creator, screwed up in the Garden of Eden and, of course, got banished from the utopian paradise that God somewhere in the nether regions created on your behalf? Yes, it gets kind of cheekily silly. Yes, it makes no sense. Yes, how does a human creator wake up one day and decide pedophilia is the answer all to answer all? And then they give their undivided attention and life force to the subjugation and the practical experience to learn how to become a pedophile? Meanwhile, all these marvelous chemically induced comatose regions that get dynamically embraced to the point that all of a sudden it becomes problematic an issue. Did someone wake up one day and said, let's invent mercury, a heavy metal that can't be chelated through the body in such a way that it has an expanse through the human genotile chemical strata that binds the tissue to such a degree that it poisons the life force that affects the recreation of the and the division of cells and cellular structure? The wonderful geneticists that have bred all of the practical, basic, basal nutrition out of any food, out of any life force that you suck into your world? Who would do that? Who would do that if it's not you and your very own deliciousness? And yes, it's very fabulous that you, human creator, bored in your stature of delicious power that you can control and do control, the essence of all that is, the very forthness of thought, the foreignness of thought, that within your past, present, and future only have the ability, only have the capacity, only have the knowing knowledge that is now the relevance that it is almost over. You have run your race. You have created and gotten rid of every type of species. That, yes, the one thing on this planet that you couldn't survive without and that you should give all glory, laud, and honor to is your wonderful dinosaurs. Uh-oh. That miraculously, meticulously gave their very life force just so you could have petroleum byproducts, so you could enjoy your Vaseline and all your petroleum jellies and or petroleum byproducts that created this whole entire tactile spans of time that you could go around and dig up out of your planet Earth so you could just get a little bit of Texas tea to put into your driving car to get you back and forth to your working job, to get you back and forth to your poison house, to get you back and forth to your Walmart, to get you back and forth to your shit-laced, organically based, non-nutrition-based sewage reality. Very delicious. Okay, that's to the second part. Now, sarcastically speaking, you, obviously, marvelous human creator, absolutely understand, absolutely, United States that can now make it against the law for him and the creators in America to be on the planet without insurance. That makes such a bill change the way loans are given for your schools of higher learning, or the bailout process for co-pays for those who have lived their whole life and vicariously already poisoned and sucked the very life out of your life force and your planet, who made the DDTs. Isn't that what happens when you're coming off of alcohol addiction? Oh, wait, no, that's the shakes. Sorry. Oh, no, that's Parkinson's. Oh, wait, no, that's another genetic problem. Oh, wait, there's just acre after acre after acre of nasty, politically based, humanly juiced, manufactured, dogmatic, karmatic dimensions of dementia that get you so crossways that you find yourself in the anomalous analogy, oh wait, we said that, of nothing in the world better to do than to bitch, gripe, groan, moan, and complain of how less than you are as a magical, marvelous, power-centered creator. If some little ionic, plastic, bobble-headed Jesus could drive you somehow into your swastika-laced, Third Reich-embased, embased, that's the word, sensory perception that can allow that all this nastiness that somehow you have, however boredly, survived through, what point of this wonderful dimension of your artifact-based, historically referenced, Hebraloid-induced dimension actually gives anybody else, power over you, your life, and your experience? Isn't it interesting that the honey that you speak of from the land of milk and honey is a food that never spoils? The reason is because it's bee spit. It's the rape nectar from the fornication of the very lilies of the fields. Mm. The load that your mama should have swallowed becomes the magical dynamic of a food that is empirically never spoils, lasts forever. Oh, it must be laced with preservatives, it must, since all the dynamics of the delicious, wonderful flora and fauna of the clover of the field that brings forth the delicious nectar that is the sweetness, the delicious capacitor that is your very life force, the very dynamic that you even try to gild the lily with the marvelous gold, or at least the ormei, the manna from heaven, that you get to wonder with how it fell out of your little plastic-headed bobble non-physical doll. And if that little bobblehead gets you into the notion of a place that somehow, even though the DDTers have laced it all in the arsenic rages and the crack and the crank and the ice and the spick and the spack and the ice and all of the other Drano-based poisons of the mind to relax and allow you into the epiphany that is your powerful knowing of creation, please yourself this day, you marvelous Godhead, incarnate before all the ages and that is to come and that which has come, post-come. Oh, wait, no. That's about to spit again, isn't it? Sorry. All the delicious ejaculate of life is your very own place of joy, bliss, and relative radioactivity. Enjoy this wonderful place. Enjoy this wonderful dynamic. As you take those Benjamins and them $100 bills and you try to pave your way to glory, oh, won't it be wonderful then when we can get over our sin? Everybody will be happy. Everybody will be sappy. Everybody will be happy then. Oh, what a mighty God we then can serve. contrast that brings you into this less than place of beingness. How all you run around and elect your marvelous officials to run your world and to take the full bastion credit for everything that you screwed up in your own reality. Where Uncle Remus has to come in and Uncle Tom's cabin has to come keep the nigger in the field. Oh, yes, better keep Whitey out of it. Oh, don't let Whitey run it. Oh, the cotton's coming. The cotton to the cows and the corn. Look out. I told you. I told you. See, it kind of gets silly after about 1 second. But it's so funny and delicious that you have apartheid, epitome, appendages, and yet dogs and cats still are laying together. And you got heterosexuals and homosexuals and autosexuals and every kind of sexual that runs around here in this dynamic, laughing in the face of this marvelous brass-footed, duck-feathered, covered, white-haired God sitting in the ethers. Oh, but don't you worry. Judgment Day is coming. In that great getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well. In that great getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well. That's if you decide to make it. And it's so no, it's no anomaly to us that you would find yourself smitten with the own power of your concentrated energy of reality. It is no anomaly to us that you find yourself sarcastically crossed up with your very dynamic that is your beingness. You come to us and say, oh, non-physical, I've had this awful yearning in my belly. And we say it's just the moving of your bowels, non-physical. We'll give you an example of what you want to know. It's okay. Go void your bowel. Get the shit out of you. Let it flow. Praise God from whom all shitholes flow. Let it flow. And it's okay. And in the sewage that you create, which will be your only life force because everything else will be poison. Oh, you done tunk a little poison now. And then you tunk a little poison to come. That's hoodoo. Tunk a little poison that you've come to a place now that it's gotten too wet to plow. Oh, me. That's what you have to say when you human, marvelous, powerful creators can say amen. Selah, let it be. If you can't say amen, then you're left standing in the queue of old me. And it's just great fun. But we love and appreciate your letter because it's so delicious. And we think you're exactly right. Spot on. You got it. Couldn't say it better. In our little words, mean nothing. Yours are well thought, well struck, well instigated. And yet still is your reality. But not everyone, there are many bored human creators, and they're not all in North Carolina, but thank you for marvelously, perfectly creating the genre by which the human genome can judge and will be judged in and of its own dynamic. And don't worry, don't fuss, because in many human creators, it'll be over soon. And others like you can be bored as well. It's very wonderful. It's very delighted. And as you come into this delicious, wonderful place, once you human, powerful creator, get everything straightened out, please let non-physical know. We certainly will enjoy that place then. But see, it's left up to the marvelous Godhead, which is you. And once you come to that place of knowing, then all of a sudden you quit trying to figure out that the world's broke, because it ain't. That the world needs fixing, because you can't fix it. If you could have, you would have already. And that wonderful, delicious dynamic that is the contrast, that is your power, the Satan, satirical, dark, fierce nether regions that's coming to suck the life out of you in your bed. Don't worry, you'll be bored.
in this debate with the unionic, I take it that's your opening statement.
Oh, yeah, opening that statement. Was it. That you got it right, spot on. We love and appreciate it deliciously. And everything you said, that's exactly right. Spot on.
You raised many points yourself. What is it that this person, Richard, got right? What did he get right?
All of it. But it's all about how you poisoned everything and how this
He was saying that ION is setting us on a rabbit hole that does not prepare us to deal with the real important problems in the world, which he inventoried.
But then, see, trying to make it so that the individual human creator isn't responsible for that. So if you're having semen slip out of your body, it's not non-physical's problem where you cast your seed.
He doesn't think ION is that important. He just thinks it's a big distraction from people, the working people, the lowly classes, to rise up and kick the oligarchy out. He thinks that if they do that, then we're on the right track.
Who put the oligarchy in?
The other, earlier oligarchy. It's always been the oligarchy from that position Richard's making.
God of our fathers, who's almighty, and dun-dun-dun-dun, reigns forth in truth in this mighty land.
Are you suggesting that the Christian concept of God is the oligarchy?
Well, apparently.
So he is saying we're being distracted. Now, he could call in and ask questions about these different environmental pollutions and ION gives suggestions about how to handle it or how to improve it.
But he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's in a detached state of cynical objection.
Close that bail. Cast that line. Bob, when the crackers is picking the cotton in the field, you ain't got time to worry about how the peas is getting in the pot.
Well, he would like them to the crackers to wake up and overthrow their overlords.
Overthrow yourself, yes. Yes, that's right. Run yourself right out of your mind. That's right. Well, exactly. No wonder you're bored, because you're busy running around trying to straighten out all the problems of the world that you caused.
That we caused.
Well, how else would it be? Not every human creator is worried about the DDT explosion. You know, some people that got napalm found it as a wonderful expression that they could roast their weenies right there and they won't have to go anywhere.
They had their weenies roasted.
Yes, by that unbearable heatness of fire.
You were in a client session this morning and pointing out that calories indicate heat exchange.
Yes.
And the heat exchange they represent in the body has nothing to do with weight.
Right.
Weight gain.
Or fat. Or size of your beingness.
What does it have to do with?
Heat. The creation or ingestion of fuel that burns, that keeps you warm. And whether or not nutrition that's gauged from the heat exchange is retained in the cellular structure of your body has to do with the radical stripping of the pineal gland that allows the hypothalamus to balance within the core vortex of your brain stem your metabolizing ability and capacity to exchange heat energy into output of machinery as the human body as a machine. If you put a higher octane gas in the motor, it burns richer, quieter, and hotter, more efficiently. Okay? So then what happens is the better the fuel, the more the fuel, the richer, the purer that fuel burns. Well, you burn calories because it's heat. Okay? And how that metabolism lets you know how sluggish your system is.
What did you say about the pineal gland? That was the involved in that?
Yes.
Pineal gland, involved with this heat exchange process.
Well, that's what affects your it's all about your thyroid. Mm. But we didn't dare want to say that. Uh-oh, we just did.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we can never calculate that it comes from a thyroid dimension or capacity, because that's what sets your metabolism. metabolism.
The thyroid is the thing that interacts with the calories?
No, it doesn't interact with the calories. It interacts with the system to let the system know what to do with the calories that the body is driven to ingest.
Is that known by regular science, that exact involvement?
We don't know what regular science knows, but yeah. They get on the looky box and they say, you should eat to live, not live to eat. But yet, isn't that sort of what you do?
We live to eat.
You eat. You eat. You eat to sustain yourself.
Yeah, live to eat.
You eat to solve your problems. You eat to embrace your conquerings. You lay the feast down for the joy. Either way you go at it, you use it as a distraction for your human creation. So then the answer to life is in a little white fine powder. Oh, wait, not cocaine, white sugar. That's why we say, if you have a problem with Coke, drink Pepsi. Very cheekily we use that because the same phosphate in the Pepsi and the sugar and the sweetness will allow your body to naturally replace the driving for huffing or snorting or smoking your opiates in your poppy plant.
You're saying the sugar will replace that?
The craving, yes. Because the drive for white sugar is a million times stronger than your driving addiction for your cocaine. But don't tell North Carolina that, because, law, that'll be a whole other problem. They used to spend all day, every day, picking that tobacco to keep everybody so they could smoke themselves a stairway to heaven. Well, it's the same addiction for that nicotine that you bored in North Carolina to put Winston and Camel and Pall Mall cigarette in the mainstream genostructure. Well, you're right. Forget all that. Go straight into cocaine cigarettes. It'd be great.
Yeah, so you're bringing up cocaine in relation to sugar. And what was the relationship you were making? That
you could replace the craving for cocaine, which, by the way, we don't have a problem with.
Yeah.
It's as fun as anything else.
Yeah.
I mean,
you would replace that with sugar.
Yes. Because the driving craving for sugar is 1.5 million times stronger an addiction than anything ever, crank, crack, ice, anything else that you've created so far. Oh, wait, that's that human creator. Or is that the plastic ion that creates all these problems? We forget whatever the empirical reference is.
But
blame us. Hell yes, we've done it. And Bill Clinton would have been in a way different place. If somebody accuses you as a human creator in your present structure, stand right straight up on your feet, take your power, and say, hell yes, I've done it. I fucked everything that be still. I'm a lover. I'm not a fiery. Be still. I'll love you. I'll love you right up. You just be still. That's all you got to do. So if that's what it takes to get you into the notion that it is indeed your shit and your mess, and if it's not the way you want it, then if you couldn't create it or make it, then who did? And we want to know which whitey put you under the mask of the whip to crack that bow, to get you out there to straighten out all these anomalous problems. If NASA could fix it, why hadn't he already? Or is that just the place that you're left with? Less than only experiencing marvelous creation from a bored status quo position of default. Very fun. Thanks so much. We do love and appreciate you more than you know as we sarcastically enjoy your little play on wordology for this little bedtime story time of bliss.
You're talking about me or Richard?
What's the difference?
Oh, okay.
You engaged it, so you're just as much in it as she.
Well, tell him too, since she sent it to me. She caught it.
Oh, she just set it up.
Yeah, she set it up. She just said
so that way you can, and that's kind of fun, isn't that fun? Some of the words are kind of strong, but sometimes you have to use what you call not good grammar, not good.
you did the bad grammar a little bit? Is that, who did the bad grammar?
We did.
Okay.
Well, they did.
So you're
well,
saying that it's best I stick with my sugar addiction, not the cocaine addiction, not to go into the cocaine.
We don't care. Get a sack full of it. It's all right.
So what was your point? What was your point of saying...
If you have a problem with cocaine, your craving and addiction to sugar is 1.5 million times stronger. So why is sugar stronger than the cocaine?
In other words, if they're worrying about addiction, go after the sugar industry.
No. If your buddy's blowed a hole in his nose from going after the candy, white candy, instead of going after the cocaine, engage in dominoes. Crystal, sugar, white sugar.
Why don't the cokeheads do that?
Those that decide that they have a problem with it and can't beat it, that's what they use to beat it.
They use domino sugar. And they sell it to people disguised as cocaine? Is that the thread you're saying there?
No, Bob, no. The body's craving for sugar is 1.5 million times more powerful than a body's craving.
Yeah, so what's your point? Why are you pointing that out?
If you have a problem with cocaine, white sugar is much easier to get hooked on than your problem with cocaine.
So you're suggesting if you have a problem with your cocaine habit, go to sugar because it's
more powerful, laced-based driving point of addiction.
Mm.
It's much easier.
Why doesn't the cokehead notice that?
Well, because they can't do sugar. That's how they got into the cocaine and the methamphetamines and every other dynamic. It's some nasty, marvelous God sitting in the heaven must have created so that you could screw yourself right out of your life force.
Why don't they... realize there's something there.
Well, Richard does. He explained it to you. Didn't
yeah. Why don't
not
they? Why don't the cokeheads eat sugar more?
Because there's no desire for sugar. Because that's everywhere.
It's not illicit.
Right. Mm. Well, but they're trying to make it illicit. They're trying to say it's killing the world, and then so therefore, all of a sudden, you know. Now, pedophilia is no fun because they're giving it away for free. It's not great fun. So they take all the fun out of it, you see. Taboo. Human creators only want what they can't have.
So I'm not sure if Richard, if he heard that, would understand what the point you're getting at.
As much as we understood his letter.
Okay. All right. So let's go on to the next member of the Ionic, un-Ionic conspiracy. This is someone who listened to a bit of Ion, my recommendation.
Oh, well, there they've got trouble right out of the chute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He says he's known as Polar Bear. That's his name. This is on the alt.slack website or chat line.
You don't have to qualify it. It's okay. You just now made it where nobody else wants to hear it either.
Oh, no, this guy's not a regular alt-site. He's smarter than them. He's actually invaded them, then he got involved with some of my stuff, so that was good. He got so far, and he said he listened to, it seemed, just an hour. I got as far as an hour. First off, this Ion guy has forever ruined the word delicious for me. In fact, the next person that uses that word in my presence is taking a one-way trip to the morgue. I won't even need a lawyer. When my trial comes up, I'll simply play a few Ion tapes. Guaranteed acquittal. Okay, so he objects to the use of the word delicious over and over. Furthermore, he's wrong on so many points, I scarcely know where to begin. But let's start with the Federal Reserve's very own tiny note chart. He's referring to my tiny note. Very own chart right here. And it goes to some chart in the Federal Reserve. He says, indeed, we see a fall off. This is about us talking about China last Wednesday. Indeed, we see a fall off in Chinese purchases of U.S. treasuries. But note the increase in Japanese purchases that offsets that. Recall that Japan is an ally with no navy that needs to secure its supply of oil from the Middle East via the Malacca Straits, the second major choke point after the Straits of Hormuz. No navy, no oil, no choice. So he's saying the Japanese are bouncing off whatever the Chinese are not buying. What do you think of that, Ion?
We think it's silly. You know the difference in the yen carry trades, that they tried desperately to give away billions of yen because it said, what is it, 120 yen to a dollar? Do you realize how silly it would be to have a currency that upside down to buy into your dynamic? And you're talking about Japan. Japan is the one that's the country the size smaller than the whole country of North Dakota, with the per capita people sucking up resources at the tune of billions. Well, maybe not billions, but lots. And from their whole gross national product minus Toyota, oh wait, that's made here in the States, comes into a very funny, impractical, that would be like saying we're going to count on New York City to eat enough bagels to balance the national deficit. They eat a lot of it, but not just on City Island.
So I'm not sure what you're saying. You're saying that there's not...
saying that Japan can't buy enough. Its currency is worse off than the U.S. currency that the treasuries are supposed to buy, support, to balance.
So that their purchases of the U.S. treasuries is minimal. It doesn't balance off China. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're saying it's all about Middle Eastern oil. There's probably not three drops of Middle Eastern oil in all of Japan. They get theirs from Gazprom, from Russia. Ask Putin, he'll tell you all about it.
Does it go through Malacca Straits?
Well, that's just the port where everything that gets to Japan goes through, Bob. They don't teleport that stuff in through the drainage systems.
Malacca Straits is near Japan.
Where the heavy shipping goes through.
Is it near Siberia or near Japan or something?
That's the Bering Straits that's in Russia.
Yeah, yeah. So the Malacca Straits are near Japan. We can establish that. And then he says, now look at the increase in Caribbean banking center purchases. Add that to Japanese holdings and subtract China. That's what we polar bears call a wash. Wash in quotes.
Yeah, it's a wash. It's called money laundering, yes.
So you agree that Japan is money laundering? Is that his point?
No. His point that it's a wash, that it balances it all out from the Caribbean sub-banking world, where you just wash the launder the money to get it back into the U.S. He's not trying to say that Japanese are buying Caribbean-based Cayman Island debentures to get it into the United States through that way. It's the same way they get Cuban cigars into Miami from Havana.
I think he might be saying that the Caribbean Banking Center, they buy U.S. treasuries.
Yes, and that's what, how the Japanese are buying us out. Well, Korea, the whole thing, they don't buy or sell nothing, Bob. It's just a way so they can get monies moved around in the U.S. from the U.S. without the IRS.
What is the wash? They're just going through the Caribbean Banking Center, I guess.
So that they can say that they're a foreign corporation and therefore not subject to U.S. taxation.
So then there's a quote. Caribbean Banking Center, by the way, is the double dog secret code word for U.S. Federal Reserve.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's what we just said.
In other words, the U.S. Federal Reserve is a laundering place?
Sure. That's what a central bank does, Bob. It collects all, washes it, puts it back out, keeps it in balance.
And the majority of it is drug money?
What does that have to do with anything?
No, I'm just asking, is the majority of the money going through?
No.
No, it's not drug money.
So that's the only reason the drug money even comes up at all, is because that's what anybody who has more than $3.11 in the Federal Reserve System was known as a drug dealer. Well, now it's even easier. Now you're known as a terrorist. But they didn't have such a thing as terrorists, but you could be a drug dealer. If you have more than $3-4, then you must be a drug dealer, because you can't have more than $3-4 because you're a consumer. You're not a saver. You're a consumer. So if you have a little money, you must have gotten it ill-gottenly. That's why they call it ill-gotten gain. So therefore, if you take some folding money down to your local bank, they'll fill out a piece of paper, and it used to be because you were a drug dealer. Now they do it as the anti-terrorism campaign, to get control, because if you've got more than $3.11, then you're a terrorist.
He says it works like this. The Fed does something called a repo, and then he puts in bracket, you can't make this stuff up. So the Fed does something called a repo with its primary dealers. The money thus printed in quotes, makes a round trip through the Caribbean affiliates of the primary dealers and straight back to the U.S. Treasury bond auctions, thus ensuring a bid within range of targeted interest rates. Every bond trader on the face of the planet knows this, which is where you get the slogan, quote, don't fight the Fed.
Well, then, great. Then what's the yield on the 10-year T-bill today? If that's true, why would you buy something that has lost 80% of its intrinsic value as far as a bond? It's a bond. What's a bond? I promise to make this good if you ever get the balls to ask for it back. Just by the way, polar bear, the Federal Reserve don't print money.
Well, he put print in quotes.
Yeah, quotes, right, because they don't control it. All they are is the clearinghouse. They just count what is and put out what is. It's supposed to be the Treasury that prints money, and that's based on the T-bill and the T-note auction. But what other currencies are pegged against as far as the exchange rate on the Forex? But we're not cleaning up anything. We love and appreciate everything. And if you want to do that, make your little plastic non-physical and blame it. We don't care.
The word repo, do you know that?
Sure. It's the PO. Is it Edgar Allan? You repo it.
Rewrite it.
Ride the Raven nevermore.
You go to a parallel world.
Don't have to.
I know.
Oh, no, you don't have to go that far, Bob.
The Fed does something called a repo with its primary dealers. Would you agree with that?
Which means that's the banking system. That is the Federal Reserve's position within the NA national affiliate called banks.
But does the word repo refer to that the Fed
does? That's what the banks do with money. They repossess it.
The banks repossess it from the Fed?
No, the banks repossess it from the human creators that give it value.
The Fed does something called a repo. Well, it sounds like the bank does the repo.
Well, who is the bank, Bob?
Okay, does a repo with its primary dealers.
Okay. Who are its primary dealers? It's depositors.
In a bank?
In the Federal Reserve. If everybody went and took every dime of money out of their bank, there'd be no Federal Reserve overnight. If everybody went and withdrew, well, actually 10% is all it would have to be to do is withdrawal. If 10% went and withdrew, every bank in America would fall into receivership and it would bust. Not 10%. If they went and withdrew their funds, it'd be over.
Are we talking about
the board, around
yeah,
the world?
I'm trying to find out what the first sentence. Are you talking about people taking money out of the Federal Reserve?
Out of their bank. How do you get money out of the Federal Reserve? You go withdraw your money from the bank.
The Fed does something called a repo with its primary dealers. Not sure what that sentence means. Do you know what it means?
Yes, Bob, we just told you. If you and Carolyn take a money check and put it in your money bank, mm-hmm. that bank is repoing your money.
They're repossessing it.
That's where it come from and that's where it went back to.
Always for possess.
Yeah.
The money that's printed, so it's printed when they take our money. It's, quote, printed.
No, it's not. It's printed when they gave it to you.
Metaphorically. The money that's printed.
It ain't metaphorically. It is printed when they gave it out. When you, quote, earn.
So when he says you call the repo with his primary dealers, what are the primary dealers?
The depositors.
And who would they be? Major banks? Any banks?
People who put money in a bank as a depositor.
So if he means, he's talking about its primary dealers.
That's anybody who is a depositor.
Right, but I don't think he might as well just say with his depositors, but it's his primary dealer. He's talking about some other level, and he's calling them primary dealers.
Dealers meaning?
Yeah, look at this, the next sentence, use of the primary dealers. The money thus printed makes a round trip through the Caribbean affiliates of the primary dealers. Now, you know, everybody who deposit, every human being has a Caribbean affiliate? No. So the primary dealers would probably be the major banks. And straight back to the U.S. Treasury bond auctions. The money that's printed makes a round trip through the Caribbean affiliates of the primary dealers and straight back to the U.S. Treasury bond auctions.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean anything to you, right?
Well, sure. It's just the circle of the process, that's all.
Thus ensuring a bid within range of targeted interest rates. Is that what happens?
They make the amount of money cost what they want it to yield.
Right, through the interest rates?
Yeah. That's how the bond has a value, is because of the vigor that it gains.
So why is he saying Every bond trader on the face of the planet knows this. Knows what?
We have no idea about it.
Which is where you get a slogan, don't fight the Fed.
Okay, right. Well, we agree with that. We agree with that. And if you don't want to participate, you certainly don't have to. Yes. Don't have a bank account. That'll do it.
So ION is wrong.
You just beat the Fed.
You don't do that, or would you suggest doing it? I wonder how you beat the
Fed. Ask what you're asking. You asked a question, we answered it, and then you don't know what you're asking, so we don't know how to help you.
Yeah, well, I don't know nothing here. So ION is wrong. So somewhere in all these sentences that you agreed with, he says you're wrong. Then he says the Chinese can bluff and bluster all they like. They are effectively trapped.
Yes, because they own you. Right. They don't know what to do with you.
So we know that.
What does that have to do with Japan?
Well, no, he's talking about China right now. Do the Chinese know it, and are they just playing dumb? They know it.
Well, they're so dumb, they're laughing all the way to ownership.
What does ownership give them? They have the responsibility of keeping the country going.
No, they don't. They can watch it go into the sea. It's their choice, and you got nothing to say about it anymore.
So he's not being cynical enough here. Do they know it, and are they just playing dumb? No, we say. Perhaps, but it doesn't alter the fact. He's saying it doesn't alter the fact that they are effectively trapped. And I think you're saying ION China is going to dim down that trapped feeling as much as possible to our chagrin.
They're certainly putting the anal intercourse on Google.
What is the basic issue? I don't read it.
Google wants the Chinese business. In 2009, Google made $200 million doing business by providing their advertising for their customers in China.
Oh, yeah, they provide all the little ads. They're the...
Because that's the largest internet user in the world, the country of China. There's more people using the internet in China than the rest of the world put together.
So Google, its business is, when you go online to a place, there's a bunch of ads on the side. Google provides those ads for the advertisers.
And what China's problem with Google is, if you type in the Google search, Tiananmen Square in U.S., it gives you every dynamic of Tiananmen Square and tells every view regarding it. Well, in China, you can't say shit like that. Therefore, Microsoft does business on the internet, but they yield and do not allow information that China doesn't want discussed on the internet in China. They don't believe in what you call free speech. They don't believe that you can just say any damn thing you want to with no regard. They say that you have to be culpably responsible in certain things that are outside of their belief system that they do not allow is not going to be in their country.
But you brought in the idea of being culpably responsible in that sense. Like they say you have to be culpably responsible about stuff that they don't agree with.
And if you say stuff that they don't agree with, they'll take you out of their country. And they have. So then all Google did was then flip everything out of China into Hong Kong, where you can have free speech and have kiddie porn and anything else you want to type into your lucky box freely. So then all the Google searches that could no longer be done through China were flipped and done through Hong Kong. Well, China said, fine, we'll block you from Hong Kong. So now Google has landed only in Hong Kong, and the wall that separates Hong Kong from China is now higher, and so they blocked them there as well.
So Google went to Hong Kong and then sent stuff into China via Hong Kong.
Yeah, their servers. They just moved their server from China
to Hong Kong, and then they blast China, and China put up a wall to prevent the Hong Kong stuff going into China.
Correct. So when you're in China and you type in Tiananmen Square on a Google search, you get nothing. Web page cannot be displayed. And then underneath that it says, fuck you, Google.
So Google is losing a major market.
Well, it's just a pissing match.
It's not going to hurt Google.
Oh, yes, it very well could undo Google.
China's the future, so to speak.
No.
Do you understand China is big enough that it could go into the Cayman Exchange and buy all the shares of Google and then replace their board of directors with their very own?
They could do that.
And absolutely. And trash you all together.
Now, why don't they do that?
Who said they're not?
The two guys, Larry and Serge, they're sort of stepping out. I read something. They gave up a percentage of something, or whatever you call it, ownership. Is that because they see that Google's going down?
Sure.
They're thinking that way.
Yes, Bob, yes.
Okay.
They gave up all their power so they could take over the Grand Cayman Money Laundering Exchange.
You're referring to the polar bears thing there?
I think it was just dribble.
Yeah, no, dribble. Okay. So now here you have, we're talking.
Great.
Come on. Yeah, let's just stay on topic, or the topic I want to stay on.
What is the topic, Bob?
Yeah,
we have no idea.
We're trying to formulate something. Okay, so you brought up the way China is affecting Google as an example of the crimp put on American business by China, even though it needs to keep the idea of America going.
But they could go on without Google. They went a long time without Google.
So Google right now, they went to Hong Kong. Is that like in the last 2 weeks? Huh? Quickly. Yeah. They went to Hong Kong. Now that's being blocked. So they've denied.
No, they moved their servers. Free speech was blocked in China. Has been forever. So the servers that were in China, Google said, turn them off. You're letting shit in that we don't want to let shit in.
Google servers in China, Google told to turn off.
China told Google, turn off your servers or we'll turn you off. And they said, fine, China, great, no problem. So they moved their servers, the Chinese servers, Google's Chinese servers, to Hong Kong, where there is free speech.
Did they do the first stage of following China's orders and turn them off?
Yeah, they had to. China turned them off. They asked for 1 second,
so,
and they...
How do they do that? Do they go into the Google's offices and turn it off with some code? Or, I mean, how do they...
No, they control the internet in China.
Oh, okay.
So they just turn it off. Now you have Google, but nobody can access it. So if you're not going to go by our free speech or lack of free speech, we won't allow anybody in China to achieve a search on a Google search engine for anything.
So now they're in Hong Kong. Now that's been stopped. So Google is denied access to a growing Chinese market. That will hurt Google.
It's not growing. It's bigger than the U.S.'s, Bob.
So that hurts Google.
Yeah, right.
So why is China so upset about freedom of speech?
Because they think they see what it's done for America.
What has it done to America?
Screwed it up.
You think that's the reason?
That's what they think. We don't think that. But that's what they think. And apparently they're powerful and strong enough to control it. So I guess they must be right.
They can take over any company in the States if they want to.
Well, of course.
We say that China keeps America going. If you keep a bankrupt, demoralized America going, that's okay for China because you didn't get rid of America completely.
No, all you're left with is people to buy your crap.
So when you're saying the Chinese want to keep America going, it's not to keep America going for Americans, but to keep America going to have a place that China's products are sold at and bought.
They don't want to get
right. Right? Can we get that simple statement? That's what it is.
We don't know how simple it is.
And okay, listen. When we talk about how they love the dragon and they want to keep it going, they're only keeping America going in the context of, oh, there's more people have to buy our stuff, and they're going to buy it. So that's the way they keep America going, as a colony of consumption.
Colony of consumers.
And they do that, and they don't have to be responsible for America. They can let the Americans run around in their own little poverty or numbness.
They can leave them to type it.
To typing, yeah, leave them to typing. So China, it keeps the dragon going as a colony of consumers. So that effectively leaves America powerless in the old sense of having its own course, creating its own course in consumers around the planet, right?
It does not create consumers around the planet.
They don't want them.
The Americans don't want it.
The Chinese don't want it.
No, I was talking about the Americans. I'm talking about the Americans. The Americans shifted to say...
Americans can't do shit. They're the biggest, they're the best. They're so big, they can't do shit. They can't even reform their reforms. They are the same, and it's lost its potency.
So
they're shooting blanks.
They say America is no longer producing anything. And
Except debt.
And so Americans, they could not recover the ability to produce stuff other than typing.
So they repoed it.
Who repoed it?
Who are you talking about?
Okay. The Americans, they're in the kind of slavery, so they cannot retrieve the state of being a producer. When the dollar gets valuable because the euro collapses, will that put America back into a producer role?
No.
So it'll always stay typing. You can't retrieve the producer role.
But this isn't new. When they went bankrupt before the first time, all they did was they instigated the WPA. And China paid for that. They were bankrupt. How did everybody get paid the government jobs to get their working money?
So do you see that coming again?
It's not coming again. It's already here.
And China's paying for the new works project.
They're paying for all this reform, China.
Are they paying for the medical reform?
They are.
What are they paying for? What's it mean to pay for the reform? They paid for the politicians to vote? They bribed the politicians?
No, Bob. They're going to pay for the reform that they signed the law of the land today.
I want to go back to Polar Bear's letter. So, as a footnote, not something I can prove, he says, but the signs all point to it. The major drug cartels are using the same Caribbean conduit to support the treasury market, albeit in a minor role. Would you agree with that?
No.
And the major drug cartels are not involved with the treasury market. Would you agree with that statement by me?
That's correct.
Albeit in a minor role. So not even in a minor role, because they're too tiny?
Yeah, nobody cares anymore, because now they got terrorists.
Nobody cares about the drug people, so the drug people can make business and do well because nobody's out to bust them.
Oh, but Bob, you see, it's gotten so cheap that they're not even a focused U.S. market-based business anymore.
They're not selling to American consumers, is that what you're saying?
And they got no money.
So they sell in other parts of the world.
Okay.
This is the quid pro quo for being allowed to operate, the drug dealers. They can operate if they kind of support the treasury market. The big busts you see in the news are the competition, the little guys that can't or won't play the game. So that's probably true, but the drug cartels are not supporting the Treasury. And he's suggesting they are, but you don't agree with that, correct?
No, we don't care.
As for the Fed itself, it was founded in 1913, but you have to go back to 1907 to understand why. He's talking about, I think, the Fed. We got talking about the Fed going in the 30s. But he says, no, it was founded in 1913, and you have to go back to 1907 to understand why. Would you agree with
that? They had to orchestrate it, yes.
So that's true.
We won't play this it's true business, because that's not going to work. Here's what happened. They filed a charter in the Commonwealth of Virginia as a foreign corporation in the United States of America, and the installation of that was in your, what you call, 1907. That's when they were doing their articles of incorporation.
And that was the year the first crash, or one of the major crashes?
No, that was the year when they actually had something to work with, because it was all backed by something before that, and they knew that they could only grow to a certain degree with a gold-backed currency, because all the gold that was in the world was a finite amount. And if the United States of America had every pinch of gold that is and will ever be, it still wouldn't be enough to back the currency. So they got up a way, an idea, and gave it to the Congress. And
who's
said,
they is those families we talked about.
The Federal Reserve.
And who are they? A bunch of families, right?
No, they're just a group of people who said, we'll do this for you. Who are the IRS? Is that a group of families? No, that's just a group that said, hey, we'll take care of the internal revenue for your country, for you.
Right, so the Federal Reserve, these people created the Federal Reserve to look after what?
The non-gold-backed money for U.S.
And that was a mistake?
No.
wasn't there a bit of a panic in 1907? The Morgan created panic, but that these Federal Reserve facts have nothing to do with that.
Right. It became looking for the reason of why, see, we told you we should have taken care of this.
Was the crash instigated to give a reason for the founding of the Federal Reserve?
As every mother of invention comes from the essence of necessity.
You say because of that?
Mm-hmm.
And by 1913, they organize it. They plan it for 6 years.
In the Commonwealth of Virginia.
And is there a reason? Because that allows them to bring in King George's legacy and the Queen Victoria's stuff and 400 years ago in Virginia and the Commonwealth. Is that the factor?
No.
Do the British own Commonwealth of Virginia?
No.
There's something about the Commonwealth of Virginia. You asked James to look into that. There's some kind of funny...
Well, we tried to give it to him, but he wouldn't have it. And
yeah, I'm trying to get it now, and you may not...
Well, you can't ask from his disconnection because he didn't get it, so what makes you think you are? But now you're very bright.
I'm not getting it.
Well,
I'm not getting
good.
It.
Good, but you're bright. You can get this dynamic very easy, very clear, but not from that pokey, pokey, shiny, shiny dynamic because then you're all on the false premise, so you're not going to understand it from that breaking. The breakage is too extreme. It's the way you're going to go at it. If you're going to go at it, then you got to say, what were you referring to? What's special about the Commonwealth of Virginia? How did the Commonwealth of Virginia come into the play in the formation within the higher oligarchy, hierarchy of the 13 original colonies? Well, it's the first place that allowed foreign corporations to be representations of individual creators with rights inalienable to themselves. That's what's significant, and it was a great business for the Commonwealth of Virginia.
So the 14th Amendment in the 1880s or so that made corporations a person, that really started in Virginia a few hundred years before that.
Yeah.
That you're getting at.
Yeah.
And that's not talked about.
Well, it's your founding fathers, those good Christians. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Never mind. They were deists.
So you have this, foreign companies can get involved in America through Virginia. Is that the crude way of saying it?
Yeah, it's all right.
So that's why the Federal Reserve was set there, because it can involve monies from the rest of the world?
No, it's because it recognizes the Federal Reserve as an individual entity.
And why did it recognize the Federal Reserve?
That's what we said. That's where you file foreign corporations, Bob. In the Commonwealth of Virginia.
So it's a foreign corporation.
It most certainly is. It asked to do business in the U.S., and their business was the clearinghouse for the U.S. money.
They were foreign people set it up, not Americans.
No, Bob. Foreign corporations don't mean foreigners. Foreign corporation means that you're doing business outside of the Commonwealth of Virginia, but incorporated within the Commonwealth of Virginia.
And that's a peculiar situation that only Virginia allowed.
Well, your very own corporation, you are in Hawaii.
Right.
You are doing business in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you have a foreign corporation status in Hawaii.
Right.
But your corporation is not in Hawaii. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Therefore, all the states in the union in which you do business, it has filed foreign corporation status, so it can do business in those individual states. And therefore, your company is a foreigner to California. Please don't make us list all 50 of them.
Yeah.
But it does business and has status in those states as a foreign corporation.
What does it mean to be a foreign corporation?
That means that you're doing business in that state, but you're not a business in that state.
What advantages are there from that fact?
Because now you're a foreign corporation, so you're not judged by California law.
And that's an advantage.
But yeah.
Do you avoid taxes in California that way?
You're a foreign corporation, so you have no taxes due in California.
Yeah.
You don't avoid them, they're just not due.
So the Federal Reserve set up in Virginia, and were the people who offered to do Federal Reserve, were they Americans?
Yeah.
There are no non-Americans on the board of the Federal Reserve.
Then or now?
Then.
There were none then.
Now there are.
Yeah.
Did the law change to allow that to happen?
No. They're a foreign corporation, Bob. They're a foreign corporation. They're not subject to the laws of this country.
Foreign corporation made by local guys. What does it mean to be a foreign corporation, even though Americans started it?
Foreign corporation just means that you're a corporation not founded in a state and are operating in that state as a foreigner.
And you can only get that going through Virginia.
Then, now you can do it in every state. That is where their charter is listed.
So you have this, Federal Reserve gets official in 1913, but ION generally doesn't see it really get going until 37 or so.
But that's when they started getting rid of the gold-backed securities. They got into business, and then they got rid of the gold. That was significant.
They got into business in 1913, got rid of the gold until 1934.
Right.
Then all the gold was gone.
No. All the gold that was still is, but now it's no longer backing your paper money in U.S.
That stopped by 1934.
That's correct. And they made an appeal and they collected all the gold through the Federal Reserve.
Who ordered the getting of the gold? Who wanted all the people's gold?
The Federal Reserve.
So that they could give it away?
No, so they could have it.
From 1913 to 1934, they were doing something with gold. They weren't asking everybody to send gold in, but they were getting rid of gold.
They were collecting the gold.
And then the final collection was the 1934 Act, where Americans had to turn in their gold, right?
Yep.
So then they had it all.
Yep.
Then what did they do with it?
Everyone thought they put it in Fort Knox, but it's empty.
We start off with the sentence, they got rid of all the gold from 1913 to 1934, and that means that they gathered it all under their auspices.
Yes, and what they gave in exchange for it was pieces of paper that were backed by debt.
So why did they do all this? What's the point?
They took gold, which had a finite value that was inflation-proof, mm-hmm. and converted it into pieces of paper that were inflation-laced. Well, Bob,
oof. No, I'm trying to figure out what the heck the...
Okay. We got this. If you had to have gold in your hand before they'll let you have a Snicker bar,
mm-hmm.
there's a finite amount of gold. So if they could convert that into a worthless piece of paper that you, Bob, could exchange for a Snicker bar,
mm-hmm.
that's way easier, and then everybody can buy a Snicker bar. But if you have the gold in your hand before you can have the Snicker bar, you may have a limited, finite experience of Snicker in your experience.
Okay, I got that. So they, this was in the evolution of economics. They said, let's make it more convenient to speed up trade so people can use paper rather than gold.
Debt.
What's wrong with that?
The problem with it is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money.
There's not enough money going around to substitute for the gold.
The money that's going around is not money. The money that's going around is debt.
We're getting an intuition then that it was a bit negative that they did this, made paper functioning instead of gold.
If they backed it the way they set it up, they wouldn't have had a problem.
Why didn't they back it the way they set it up?
Well, the way they set it up was that we're going to sell bonds, we're going to sell debt equal to the value of the amount of money that's in circulation, and we're going to keep a tight control. So we're not just going to hare them, scare them, print money. We're going to base it on the gross national product of the country. Well, that lasted for about, 11 minutes.
And they did that in 1913?
Yes.
From 1907 to 1913, they planned that they would do it for 11 minutes.
It was supposed to be for eternally, and that's what the Constitution says.
Yeah, but they did.
The way the
how come they
worked.
Got away with that?
But here's how they did it. They could take that piece of paper, and they could loan money and not really give you money. They would repo the money. They would give you a loan, and then they repoed it because they collected the money back. So the money came from them, and then it went back to them, except for there was an increase. You had to pay more back than you got on the interest. Well, now you just subjugated the whole process of money. So now your money can make money without having to increase the gross national product of the country. So now you've got money making money. It's kind of like your bastard babies. Now they're making babies.
Why was this allowed to happen?
We couldn't stop it once they'd gotten rid of it.
Once they got rid of what?
Gold.
You're talking about something that's after 1934, not 1913.
Yes, but it started, it was all set up and orchestrated in 1907.
Did they know it'd take to 34 to realize it?
Yeah.
And so that's, you're saying from 1907 to 1934 is 11 minutes.
That's how long it took them to get their deal.
Yeah, metaphorically. So there was a lot of scheming, and they get all the gold away from everybody, and that allowed them to do this faux pas you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So there were lots of politicians, probably go to the record, a lot of people in Congress objected to all this, explained it, right? But the question is, why did they lose? Why did they not be able to stop the Fed guys doing this?
Because once they started having all the gold, they started having all the power, they started setting up the whole dynamic.
Yeah, there was, from 1907, 1934, you know, 27 years, they're gathering it together. And I imagine there were people who saw this pattern and protested it. Was it a rigged game that no one could stop it because China owned America or something, you know, some Saint Germain?
They provided the backing that gave the reserve the oomph to be able to do it in the first place.
What year did they start giving backing?
In 07.
So China enters in it. So you have China behind the scenes in the 19th century, and then a move was made that they sponsored in 1907. I got this impression that Saint Germain, he got his money from China. He represented the China connection because China goes back to 1776.
If you go through the Caribbean islands, yes.
No, that's
it's
Haiti.
It's oligarchy.
Yeah, that's
it's
Haiti. No, that's Haiti. That's Louisiana Purchase in Haiti.
If the oligarchy is culpably responsible for every delicious, wonderful thing that comes from the U.S., then, oh, absolutely, Saint Germain would certainly be a Bahamian citizen.
Okay, we have two factors here. Patrick Adams, whatever his name was, Patrick, somebody went to the federal world, got the money to do the Louisiana Purchase. That's one thing. He got the money. He didn't involve China. But I have the impression that China was involved way back there in some of the machinations. And maybe by 1830, Saint Germain represented the Chinese. Is there something like that?
That's pretty close.
So China had their eye on what was going to happen in the United States before America had its revolution in 1776.
Before America was America, Bob.
They could see it coming.
Because they have a 1,000-year plan. They thought, then they knew.
Because they discovered America before the Europeans.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob.
So they knew about the New World. So when Marco Polo goes to China in the 1200s or so, somewhere around.
Where did Marco Polo come from?
Venice, I think.
How could he do that if the world was flat?
If you just walked flat through the Silk Road, you know, you'd get to China.
Well, that road came from somewhere.
Okay, no, he just went east and walked along the road until he got to China. Do you need to know the world was flat or round or something to do?
Well, know that there was something between.
No. He went from Venice to, you know, through Eurasia.
I understand that, Bob, but there had to be a dynamic to get you there from there. Because if you walked east, then there had to be a west.
So they knew there was a west or something.
But no one else did until it was discovered.
Marco Polo knew the world was round.
He didn't know the world was round, but he knew the world was endless.
And well, those that thought the world was flat, they would say the world was endless.
They were limited. If those that thought the world was flat, then it would fall off.
Okay, so Marco Polo was a little avant-garde. He recognized the world was endless. There was no edge.
Right. That you could walk east and continue east and never stop.
How did he come up with that idea?
Well, it must have been bumping into other realms to realize that there was no end.
Through parallel worlding, he did that?
Apparently.
He evolved himself, ascended, figured out what was happening, and then went there.
And capitalized on it.
He didn't go to China and find out the world was round. He found out beforehand.
And who did he find it out from?
His own parallel worlding.
China.
Well, did China get him parallel worlding?
No. But once he got there from the other world, they were able to tell him the world is endless, the world without end.
He worked it out before he left Venice. He went to China.
Absolutely. Otherwise, how would he ever get there? It could be the impossible dream.
Well, it seems that major actions in human history are done by parallel worlders.
The answer to your question is yes, but we're not going to be the moniker of singing that song, because you human creators are human creator enough to figure out that you can do that. But you're powerful as a creator before you find the power to do that. So, you know, we're not going to get in the rabbit hole of, well, you can only get it if you're a parallel world.
No, I know we all parallel world, but the major people in history were able to pull off their little empires and successes because they understood the dynamics of the parallel world.
Okay, that's fair. That's good. Yeah, but see, you had the power beforehand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
you had to realize it. Otherwise, you're saying that every good thing that ever happened came from the space.
That's
just not the case.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying many empires, which turned out to be bad for little man. But anyway,
but most of them are in the field picking cotton anyway, so they're not going to notice. So it's all right.
Ion quoted the Illuminati document that predicted that a spirit will come from heaven and point out other worlds, something like that.
No, it says that it would come from the heavens.
And do what? And point out other worlds?
Well, that's where the heavens hold. Mm. The heavens are these other worlds, Bob.
Okay, so maybe you could...
You got it. First time ever. Look at you. You hooked it all together. Look. Stop the presses. Call Gutenberg. You've come up with something. When they give the empirical reference of the heavens, Galileo's heavens, that was the empirical reference that there are indeed worlds parallel to your world. That's largeness.
Not the Christian idea of one heaven. They go heavens, plural.
They didn't say heaven. They said heavens.
They said plural.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Still do.
So what was the statement in the Illuminati papers that predicted Ion?
That a consciousness was clearly present that would be made manifest in this heaven.
In this heaven, this realm, this world.
Yes.
So that's what we see. Many of us who've listened to a lot of Ion are noticing that one of the major revelations of Ion for the public is the fact of public worlds, and that's what the Illuminati statement.
That the individual human creators have the ability to gain and have their power.
Through parallel worlds or just have their power?
Have their power.
And that would include be to have anything including other heavens?
Yes.
Did I help write the Illuminati paperwork?
What did you?
Yeah, what am I?
We don't know. I mean,
in other words, since I helped bring forth Ion with Carolyn, then maybe we were involved with the writing of that prophecy. Now you're asking, do I remember that? Not offhand, I don't remember that.
Well, take your power and be, rather than fall into your power by default and discern it.
Rather than by default, discern it instead of by default. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Until I actually experience it, I don't know, but I can claim I know, because, of course, if I did this, I must have set it up.
Just as though everything that's in your reality you set up.
If I made this, then I did set it up.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be in your reality.
And I set up the fact the Illuminati set up the Illuminati, so it goes endlessly in the loop there.
It's sort of like Marco Polo, isn't it?
How's he in a loop?
He knew before he found another world.
I think we touched on this before, but I knew about Ion 40 years ago before we got here.
But don't use that as your moniker, because it's like I was a marvelous creator and it only took me 40 years to figure it out.
We were probably building other things. Until I took the time to actualize Ion 40 years later, in those 40 years, I set up a whole bunch of other stuff for the future situations and other stances, right? How about that?
That's good.
It's not that I wandered. I did many other things, setting up future things a million years from now, so to speak.
Oh, maybe wondered.
I might have wondered, but I also could look at it as, I was busy setting up other things. Knowing that the Ion thing would come, I decided to make up new settings up for 10 million years from now. You see what I mean?
So, 10 million years.
Yeah, yeah, no time. We're for another frequency.
10,000.
And that's what we were doing, right? We were setting up a whole bunch of other stuff since Ion was in the bag 40 years ago. What are you singing?
Hey,
get back on course here. Come on now, stop wandering. Let's go, Siri. I'll turn you off. I'll shut you down.
7:35, I can't shut you down yet.
10,000 years.
It's like when I get into good stuff, I start drifting like an alcoholic grandfather. Okay, let's go back to, let's bug you, let's go back to old Polar Bear.
Do you not have another one? Haven't we beat that one?
No, there's a lot more. He goes, okay, second Great Depression. I don't know if Ion predicted second Great Depression, but he thinks maybe you did.
Alan Greenspan did.
Second Great Depression? Yeah, if you live in the USA, UK, or Ireland. Rest of the world, not a chance. Well, you know that, right, Ion?
That's because they didn't have anything to be depressed about.
China continues to grow at 8 to 10% even in the absence of U.S. consumers. Brazil, Russia, India, the whole world is industrializing and forging new relationships to bypass the U.S.-centered financial system. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
The wild card is how will the U.S. respond? I would say the wild card in that situation was 30 years ago. We know how the U.S. will respond. It will respond according to the orders it's given. Would you agree with that? That part.
If you're going to follow the Satan spawn reality, but yeah.
Okay, the wild card is how the U.S. will respond. Is it still a factor how the U.S. will respond?
No.
Yeah, it's done. However our response was, it was done, right? And that was done before September 11th or after September 11th?
What does September 11th have to do with anything?
The wild card is how will the U.S. respond. When did that factor end?
I don't know.
A long time ago?
Yeah, he loved me a long time, yeah.
That's China saying that. He loved you a long time. That's what China's been saying to America for 300 years.
Pretty much.
Judging by their performance in Iraq, I'd say not too well. So he's seeing the Iraqi situation as an indicator of how the U.S. is responding. You would not agree with that because there was no U.S. to respond with that sense of independence, right?
That's correct. Interdependence, yes.
Well, that sense of autonomy that the U.S. could make do something. They can't do anything.
Right.
Long before Iraq. Meanwhile, China is stockpiling resources and building a modern navy, and their new Russian friends who live right next door have lots of oil and gas.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. He just said earlier...
China was faking it.
They were getting it off from the Middle East.
No, that was Japan. That was Japan. But I was just thinking that he was saying that China was trapped. Well, if they're trapped, they're still doing okay building their big navies and that.
Yeah, they're trapped in control, yeah.
Then he says, nobody wants to give up on the USA. We're all waiting patiently for Americans to throw the bums out of Congress, shut down Wall Street, and get on with building a new multipolar world where no one power can threaten world peace and prosperity. He's tuning into what the teabaggers hope to do.
And that's actually what we're saying you're doing. But
that's right.
He could never agree with us, so...
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's not recognizing that you said that. He hasn't listened to enough.
Well...
Yeah, he goes, that's the bottom line. Americans still have time to turn the ship around, but the world won't wait forever, and the worm has already turned. So he would partly agree that the world ain't waiting, but there is the teabagging revolution that might catch America up.
The problem with that is that the teabaggers are saying you're already fucked. Well, if you're already fucked, then you can't worry about the rape issue because the intercourse is done. So how are you going to get there from there if we're just going to be the raped leftovers as a U.S. society, the raped leftovers that are going to be the dynamic that comes a less than place of power? It's a bit dogmatic, don't you think?
Well, I don't know what you mean by dogmatic. Just the shutting down...
What does dogma mean?
No, listen. Shut down Wall Street and get on with building a new multipolar world where no power can threaten world peace and prosperity. You're saying the United States isn't even a factor in the new multipolar world.
They don't own either pole.
So we're not waiting for the Americans to turn around.
No, we're not waiting.
That's where he's up.
Human creators aren't waiting on America to turn anything around, for sure.
So then Polar Bear, who's a Canadian, tells the American readers of the alt-site, as Americans, you need to think hard about the possibilities. look at that list again and pick out the countries with the least exposure to U.S. debt. You need to get their GDP and do it as a ratio. From that list, pick out the ones that have major oil and mineral deposits and put some of your money in their bonds. If you feel lucky...
Well, the Americans have more minerals than any other place in the world. So if you're going to do that, you're screwed.
Yes,
and you're back to Papa.
Yeah, so you're saying...
looking after you.
You're saying the Americans should invest in their own minerals.
No, Canadians should.
He's talking to Americans. He's telling Americans, well, you're in pretty bad shape, so you better look at countries that have a GDP and do it as a ratio. Do you know what that phrase means? Do it as a ratio.
Yeah. Do it like Canada. Take the lowest possible reality and hedge your bets on the lowest form of a dichotomy that allows you, because he's sitting there singing the praises of Old Canada, Old Canada, and Old Canada ain't got shit from Shinola.
Yeah, your statement to invest in the lowest something is not a cool policy.
Well, that's taking the very least that's possible and leverage up to that point.
Is that what Canada does?
Yeah. What does Canada make?
I don't know. You said they're sitting pretty, Royal Bank sitting pretty, or one of the banks sitting pretty after the crash. They didn't invest in America, so...
But the only reason they're sitting pretty is because their currency went up against the U.S., that's all.
And that means what if it goes up against the U.S.?
That their buying power is bigger because the value of their currency didn't go up, but because the U.S. currency went down.
So they have buying power, but you say they still don't have much clout to get beyond buying the lowest common stuff.
That's exactly right.
That's because they don't have much wealth there in Canada? Is that what
you're saying? Right.
Okay, it's a poor country in a way.
Because what's their gross national product? What do they make? What's Canada? Oh, Canada, well, they can't even make snow for the Winter Olympics.
I never noticed anything up there.
Well, exactly. Well, no, if you want to go outside the borders, every bit of Canada is within a 100-mile radius of an ocean. What's in the middle of Canada? Nothingness. Often don't even have roads through it. Talk about the wild frontier. What's in the center middle of Canada?
Okay. From that list, pick out the ones, the countries that have major oil or mineral deposits, and put some of your money in their bonds. He's telling Americans to do this. If you feel lucky, you can also buy their securities again, focusing on the resource companies and their suppliers. Then he says, okay, now you know. So he's telling Americans to invest in other things. I would say the Americans have no money to invest. It's past that point, wouldn't you say? Is that what you would say?
Well, we think a good Canadian ought to build infrastructure in its own damn country and stop giving everyone else advice on how to make it in their world in reality when Canada hasn't made it their very own either. Anyway.
Is the American economy the engine of money that might still be here, whatever's still here, run by foreigners? The Americans don't have money, so they're kind of doing nothing.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you could look at the General Motors and that. It's all doing nothing.
But you mean Government Motors?
Yeah, Government Motors. So anything that would be done is done by China or other... Is there another bunch of countries that are equal to China's clout in the United States?
No.
How about the Saudis or the British?
No.
So China won the Cold War in a way.
Pretty much.